Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Wow. What a weekend. What a week. Adam, good morning. I'm with Adam Kunz, Head of Trading and Portfolio Management. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer. Linda Jackson, also Head of Marketing and Client Services, in the room. All right, we got a lot to cover today. So we are in the fourth quarter. So happy fourth quarter. And it's going to go fast. We're going to move very quickly. Time's going to go, fly by before we get to Thanksgiving and then the end of the year, Christmas holiday season. But right now, the driving force in the market, obviously, is this coronavirus. I think the way to describe it, Adam, is we're closer to the end of this thing than we are towards the beginning.
Hopeful.
Yeah. And whether it's some way to control the spread of the virus, and beyond social distancing, that allows business models to actually function, because social distancing is an impediment to business models like air travel, baseball games, where people need to sit shoulder to shoulder. So some form of a vaccine or whatever the magic is that helps to control the virus, the spread of the virus. But the impact right now on the economy is the labor market. So this is one of the keys that we think is going to be a driver. And it's really starting to feel like 2008, 2009 all over again during the financial crisis. Back then, we lost 8 million jobs, and it took 4 years for the economy to put all those people back to work. In this pandemic, we lost 22 million jobs. So we put 11.5 million, roughly, back to work. So there's about 12 million people that are still unemployed, which puts the unemployment rate below it. It actually dropped below 8% at 7.9%. The challenge, though, is that we're seeing an increased number of layoffs as companies move to protect their operating margins heading into the fourth quarter. We expect to see more large company layoffs. So last week it was Disney, Shell, Allstate, and then we saw a couple airlines, including United and American Airlines, that followed through on their cuts. So I think all told, it was over 70,000 jobs that were lost last week. So in a large part, I think when we started the whole pandemic, what we expected was initially it was going to be people coming back to work. We'd see a surge of it. And then it was going to be a much slower process. And I think we're in that slower process now until we really find a way to control the spread of the virus. So not the end of the world, but it's going to be a challenge. The other impact here is on personal income. So we saw a drop in August's personal income level, which really again, underscores the fragile economic recovery that we have, because it's very simple. People need jobs to earn income so they can go out and spend. And that's really, I think, what's driving this. And then we've always maintained that fiscal stimulus. We do need fiscal stimulus. The Federal Reserve is coming out and saying, hey, we need more government support for this because of just how severe this is. And we still do not have, heading into the election, we still do not have an agreement on a fiscal package. So our base case is that we do expect to get something, whether it's before the election or not. We don't know, but we're still hopeful. It makes sense to do it for both parties. So the driver today, and we're gonna dig into this a little bit. The driver today is going to be, what do you do in the face of this election? What should investors be doing in the portfolio? But before we get to that, Adam, why don't we dig into what's going on in the bond market and the equity market?
Yeah, so just piggyback on understanding that, you know, the bond market has kind of been a little more pessimistic than equity markets. Same was true last week. Rates were up 5 basis points here in the U.S., but global data really wasn't very good last week. So you saw rates in Japan drop, the 10-year, Japanese 10-year went back into negative territory, and then the German 10-year moved down 2 basis points and now is negative 54 basis points. So firmly negative and moving in the wrong direction. So when you're just looking at treasuries, it's still saying that slow recovery, if any recovery at all, in Europe and Japan, spreads in investment grade widened last week, 5 to 10 basis points, depending on which sector you're looking at. But the big story was in investment in high yield, which was wider by 45 basis points last week. So definitely seeing a rotation out of risk as volatility has increased. And particularly the double B space has been the underperformer over the last month, which is, it's funny because you're seeing this in a lot of different markets where you're seeing people kind of move out of what's worked here this month. So we actually like a double B space. We were adding to it last week. See some value there. Like I said, when you're talking 45 to 50 basis points wider just in the matter of a couple of weeks. So, but moving into the end of the year and fixed income, we're still in the camp of moving to lower volatility, higher quality assets, as we think just generally liquidity is going to move away from the market sooner this year. You've got traders still working from home predominantly, and just overall new issuance is going to dry up. So we just think that that's going to create less liquidity, and that could be a problem if there is a sharp increase in volatility, because you'll see volatility, kind of get exaggerated if there's no bid. So just something to watch out for. So that's why we're kind of moving more defensive moving into the end of the year.
So on that note too, Adam, I don't know if you saw this, but the Federal Reserve last week announced that they're extending the prohibition on banks buying back their shares.
I see that, yeah.
So the banks are really being forced to prop up their capital. Mm-hmm. And so the capital that supports secondary trading has a big haircut to it. So yep. I think bank, allocations of bank capital to support secondary trading are going to be pretty skinny in the fourth quarter, to underscore what you're talking about with liquidity.
And you don't even have the Fed. So we haven't really talked about it much, but the mm-hmm. Fed was buying corporate bonds in the last 2 weeks. Each week, they've only bought $9 million yeah. worth of securities. So they basically just moved out of that market in corporate bonds. Now, it doesn't mean they can't come back, but...
Well, I think that's really the issue, is the most powerful tool is the Fed talking.
Yep.
And so whether they yeah. follow through on it. But this goes back to the heart of this issue of democracy and capitalism, and our form of capitalism is evolving. And when you have the Fed directly intervening into the marketplace to support the markets, like buying bonds, well, that artificially changes the price, mm-hmm. which artificially changes how we look at the clearing price for risk. So I think that intervention is really troublesome, but I don't think it's going away.
No, I agree. Equity markets last week kind of turned a corner, had a slightly positive week. But for the month of September, S&P was down almost 5%, and the NASDAQ was down 8.5%. But conversely, if you looked at equal weighted indexes like ticker RSP, was only down 2.22%. So, we've talked a little bit about how we moved to an equal weight tactical strategy. That has worked probably sooner than we thought it would. But really what you're seeing is a rotation, once again, out of what's worked and into some of these sectors and industries that have been beaten down.
So let's use that. Let's talk about this as we segue into what to look at with the election, right? So as we contemplated this last week, we did not know that President Trump had contracted COVID-19, yep. nor that he would be hospitalized
right.
to, for treatment for it. But it really kind of underscored. So what when we look at how to look at the election and what it means for particularly the equity markets, because the Fed's basically said, regardless of what happens, interest rates are going to be low until 2024. But if Trump wins re-election, and we would expect to see a shift back towards just what he's probably done the last 4 years, largely governed by executive order, and then trade negotiations would move back to the top of the list. So I think kind of we really never finished what we set out to do with China, and really for Europe also, is those a lot of those trade agreements are really left undone.
Yep.
What that means for businesses, I think that would support manufacturing, especially manufacturing moving back into the United States. There's also this issue of government inquiries that are going on in the large tech companies, so Microsoft, Apple, Amazon.
Right.
It covers two fronts, the monopolistic practices, particularly around Google on the search engine, and then data privacy issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those would continue. And I also think that there is going to be this undercurrent of how to tax these large tech companies.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit with the push towards a financial tax in New York and in New Jersey. And they said, hey, we're just guys, we're moving.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but I think there is going to be some issue because we're seeing it really develop in Europe also. What are your thoughts with respect to if Trump wins, what that means for investors?
I mean, from a sector standpoint, I think it kind of adds a little bit of safety to the healthcare sector. You know that, you know, your companies like Gilead and Johnson & Johnson, that they're not going to be hit with some of these taxes on the drugs they produce. And conversely, in a Biden win, I think those you got to watch out for, because that's going to be, you know, a big thing that Democrats are going to go after, is taxing these big drug makers. I agree on the tech side. You're probably looking at more regulation from a Democrat, but I think the ball is rolling too much for Trump to stop it. I think you still got to look out for regulation in tech.
So if Trump wins, what are your thoughts in terms of equities? What is there a stock you like?
So I mentioned one there, Gilead, I would look at because it's kind of been beat down over the last couple months. And this is normal heading into an election. Healthcare stocks just tend to underperform, as that's a key component of regulation. In a Biden win, I'm going to throw out a wild card here, Tesla. So if you're looking at, you know, moving green, that's, you know, a big platform for Democrats. I think Tesla could benefit from that. More tax cuts for people who buy Teslas. That's still the dominant electric car maker here in the U.S.
So let's walk down the path of if Biden wins the election. So the market's the market was going to focus on taxes. So we've got particularly a push in the corporate tax, and he's hit this pretty hard where companies aren't paying their fair share. So he's got a push, I think, for a minimum corporate tax, which we already have in place. We have the Altman tax, so.
Right?
But so and then. He's going to hit, we would expect he hits personal tax. He hits the high tax bracket for wealthy individuals. And the expectation is he goes after the estate tax again. The estate tax has been a tennis ball back and forth over the net since George Bush's days.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's symbolic or if there's real money behind that, but it just depends on how he shapes it. But taxes are going to be an issue. And I think that, you know, this is interesting because I can't tell if it's taxing for taxing's sake or if he really wants to pay off all the debt that we've accumulated over the last 4 years and then recently, most recently with this pandemic. And, you know, if you look at the projections for budget deficits going forward, it's $2 trillion, which is just unheard of. On a $20 trillion economy to have 10% budget deficits projected over the next 5 years, we gotta adjust something. So I'm suspicious that even if Republicans win, we have a Republican president, there's going to be a push for some tax adjustments because we got to start paying our bills. But under Biden, I would expect healthcare to also do well.
Yeah.
So companies like United Healthcare, I think might benefit.
Because you're saying stabilization of now there's not uncertainty around Obamacare. And,
yeah,
totally agree.
Yeah, and you got to remember that after World War II, the marginal tax rate for wealthy individuals, the highest tax rate went up over 75%, which is credited with crushing the economy. And I think the lesson learned is just be careful where you put that tax rate. But we've got the largest number of billionaires. we're minting billionaires. And So then the concern is that there's you can move around the globe now. You don't need to stay in the United States. So if you don't like the tax policy, we'll just go to a different country. So so that's a real issue. One of the other things to think about too are the electronic payments. So this trend, this is irrespective of who wins, but electronic payments and data companies. Under both regimes should benefit. So companies like PayPal,
yes,
and CoStar, I'm expecting would perform pretty well, regardless of who wins. So this whole idea of just this digital world's not going away. So so I think we've got a really good payment structure. There's a couple plays in the payment space in the United States, including Visa and PayPal. We got to still figure out Europe. But CoStar is an interesting play because of the real estate, commercial real estate database that they have. So that's been a wonderful stock this year for us. And I think there are, especially with the downturn, I think there's going to be more demand for their product. All right. Anything else on your end?
I got nothing.
Well, let's shut it down right now before we find bad things to talk about. So you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week. Thanks for listening.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.